Blog Talk Radio.
You wanna be real. You wanna be empty inside. You wanna be someone. Laying down your pride. You wanna be someone someday. Lay it all down before the king. Oh yeah. You wanna be whole. You wanna have purpose inside. You wanna have virtue. And purify your mind. You wanna be set free today. Lay it all down before the king. Oh yeah, this is my desire. This is my return. This is my desire to be used by you. You wanna be real. You wanna be emptied inside. And I know my heart is to feel you near. And I know my life is to do your will. Is to do your will. This is my desire.
Sean and all of us want y'all to call in for any healing prayer
You know, if you got any pain, you've got any problems with your body, or if you need a prayer just for your family, just call 347-996-3615. I'll repeat this again. It's 347-996-3615. And when you call in, you'll come right into the show. We'll put you on hold. And then when we get ready to do prayer sessions, we'll open the mic and let you talk and tell us what your issue is. And we'll let Sean pray for you and let you check your pain and situation. Let us know what's going on. And before you get off the phone, we're going to make sure you're healed. So it's going to be an awesome prayer time today. So like I said, it's 796-3615. And we're going to get right into the interview. Now, Sean, could you start with your testimony?
Sure. As a young boy, there was no real belief in God. Although the family was Catholic, we were one of those go to the church maybe once a year if we were lucky type of deals. And at an early age, due to my behavior, I got put into an institution. I think I was around nine. That was run by nuns at the time, and it was my first exposure to any type of real God, and I really had no use for it at the time. I didn't even believe it was real, as it was perpetrated around a lot of violence and a lot of guilt, because my behavior would never match up with the saints, according to the nuns. So I grew up angry. I grew up with my own set of rules, and throw alcohol onto that, throw drugs onto that, and now you just don't really have any morals, any character. And I went like that for a long time. My teenage years, pretty much the same. And my behaviors eventually, you know, I met Christians along the way. And the Christians I met had real character. I never forgot that. So when I ended up in jail, I did a stretch in county jail about a year. I remember sitting in my cell, and I'm actually just turned 19, and I wrote a letter out to these Christian people. They were actually my best friend's parents. Some of the fairest people I ever knew, and they actually took me in to live with them as a teenager. And I wrote them a letter on that jailhouse toilet paper at the time, which I found was kind of comical at the time when I was writing it. I said, if there is a God, a blank, blank God, why doesn't he do something for me? Where is he? What is he all about? I sent that letter out to them, and about a week and a half or two later, I got some mail, a bunch of mail, and I opened up the letter that they had sent me, and it said that if you want Jesus in your life as your Lord and Savior, ask him to come into your heart. He loves you. He died for your sins. He's waiting for you. I can't truly recall every word, but they sent me a book called Prison to Praise. It was by I believe a Baptist minister at the time, Merlin Carruthers. I read his story, and he had led a life of crime in the service. And when he had transitioned out, and the Holy Spirit touched him in such a way, I was relating to this. I wasn't much of a reader. I was relating to this story, and before I'm halfway through with the book, I put it on my nightstand, and my arms flew up, and the Holy Spirit was filling me, and I'm yelling through this jail, he's alive, he's alive, he's real. The church isn't just a building, there's a God, and I'm being filled at the same time. I'm experiencing the presence of Jesus, the risen Lord, alive and well, and filling me. And the only word I have to describe God is love, because he was filling me with love. And it was the love I had searched for my whole life. And I was being filled with heat, and I started speaking in tongues. And I had heard tongues before, but it was just I'm speaking it like my whole body's on fire. And I stood up to get off my bunk there, and I fell against the wall. And my life was changed. My heart was changed. The old man was dead. I didn't know any of these phrases at the time. The old man was dead. The new man was alive. And I can still recall my first prayer asking, I need a Bible. I don't know why I need one, but I need a Bible. God, send me a Bible. And about a week later, I hear a voice coming down the tier, and this had never happened since I had been in there. And this little man appears at my window with a basket around his arms with little New Testaments for anyone who wanted one, which was, I scared this guy half to death. I said, brother, I prayed for this. You don't. And that had never happened before and never happened since. So God answered my prayer, my first prayer, really immediately. And from there, miracles in the jail, signs and wonders. I don't know, Stan, do we have time for a quick one?
Sure, we got plenty of time.
Okay. Well, I'm in this Bible study one night at the jail, and Holy Spirit impressed upon me to say a prayer, something that had been on my mind, and I finally got up the courage. And I said, Father, show me in some audible or visual way that these prisoners in the Bible study really believe in you, that they're not just here to get out of their cells. Well, that prayer didn't go over too good, as you can imagine, because basically, without even realizing it, I was calling everyone a liar. But I said the prayer, and I went back to my cell, and it's about 1 in the morning, and I'm singing, and I'm praising God. The acoustics in that old jail were wonderful. And a prison guard came up. It was rattling the cage with his baton and said, hey, you, and shining the flashlight in my eyes, said, shut up, it's 1 in the morning. I said, yes, sir, not a problem. I was just singing, praising to God. Have a good night. And the man takes about, I'm going to say, 5-6 steps away from my cell, and a physical wind, and I'm not near any windows, and a physical rushing wind rushes into my body and fills me, and I'm singing at the top of my lungs and praising God. And he comes back, and I'm out of it. He's shining the light in my eyes, and I'm coming out of this thing. I'm saying, no, brother. He goes, he said, you're going to the hole. I said, no, it's the Holy Spirit. You don't understand the hole. He didn't know what I was talking about. And so now I'm filled with love. I can't even describe the love that is just filling my body. And I'm asking, can I put on my pants? Can I grab my blanket? I've never been to a hole, so I have no idea what that's about, only from the movies. And another guard is with him, and I'm walking down the tier, and the reality hits me. I'm going to the hole. I can't figure it out. And I'm like, my head is down. I'm saying, what's going on, Lord? And all of a sudden, from way down the other end of the cell block, I hear, praise the Lord. And about 500 prisoners start singing and praising God at the top of their lungs. And I remembered my prayer in the Bible study. And now I'm strutting to the hole. My head is up. I'm filled with glory and love. And these two guys lead me into this. They open up the door, and it's dark. And I step into this darkness, and it fills with light. I mean, it's like you could see, the only way I could describe it is just angel wings of light. And I turned to these two guys, and I'm filled with love, and I said, listen, brothers, I know you don't know what you're doing, and I love you, and I forgive you, and God loves you. And of course, we're not doing anything wrong. And I just started dancing. I started dancing. Yeah, lots of miracles. So I get released. And, you know, I had the disease of alcoholism and drug addiction, and I had no clue about that stuff. God had delivered me. And I didn't renew. When I got out, I didn't do what all baby Christians should do, and very important. I'm still thinking that the mountaintop experience is all there is. I've arrived. This is it. I'm good. I'm blessed. And I didn't put myself under anyone's real authority for teaching me and for learning the word and renewing my mind. I thought that the feeling, I chased the feeling of the Holy Spirit. And I gauged my Christian walk on my feeling, which is the worst thing a young Christian or any Christian can do, but I didn't know it at the time. Instead of basing it on the truth of who God says I am now that he's come. So when the feeling left, I perceived that God left me, because not only did the feeling left, but some of the old man thinking would produce the old man character. And before you knew it, I was taking a drink and I was taking a drug. So fast forward, on and off misery, broken marriage, infidelities, every addiction that the flesh can possibly revel in. I started living on and off, and thinking that, okay, well, God forgives me. I do something and confess. I had no idea what it meant to be a Christian. Holy Spirit's still in me. God still loves me, which I don't know either at the time. But fast forward 30 years later, and I'm joined this house church called Open Gate Ministries out of Connecticut with my new wife. And she is actually the one that rekindled the Christian life inside me. She was involved in prison ministry and got me back on track. And I'm at this house church, and we go to South Africa on a missions trip. And some of the women went out to the brothels in South Africa, and they were doing a Bible study. And when they came back, they said the glory of God on those women in the brothels was incredible to watch. And my Western mind disconnected, my religious mind disconnected, because none of that would fly. None of that would make sense in most of the religious organizations around here. So I disconnected, and I said, what? To myself. These women are doing sexual stuff, and you're saying the glory of God is on them? And right then the Holy Spirit spoke to me, because I've held 30 years of guilt and shame and secret remorse and condemnation. And he spoke to me in my mind. And he said, do you see, Sean, it's never been about your love for me. It's always been about my love for you. I love you. And I'm telling you, I stood there daring to hope that God was still in love with me. So I come back home, and a woman has an experience during her morning prayer, and she calls my wife and says that God, Sean has the gift of healing. And she points me in the direction of John G. Lake. And so I get on the internet and start looking him up, and I run into a guy named Dan Moeller and Todd White. Now, Dan Moeller starts talking about Christian identity and saying that God loves me. I just don't know who I am. I need to renew my mind to that fact and start living as a son and start believing that God loves me and get alone with him in intimacy. And I started doing these things, and guilt and shame started to wash away. And I started to see that God never stopped loving me. Actually, he's the one who called me. It was all his idea. He knew my life from the beginning to the end. See, if you don't get into the word, you never will know how God sees you. And I started to get into the word really heavily, and it changed my walk and getting alone with God. And I started to go out on the street believing that the life that was in me was the same life of the same Jesus that walked the earth 2,000 years ago. And about 2 months later, I put my hand on a guy's back, and it got healed. He looks at me, and he couldn't speak a lot of English, and he said, I said, how's your back? The pain. And he says, it's good. And all he could really say is, it's good. And from there, almost everyone I had put my hand on, I'll say maybe 80% of the people I started to put my hand on, from cancers to broken bones to you name it, tumors, a couple of people in comas, they all started to get healed. And I found that unless I renewed my mind and spent intimate time with God, that and obtained the things in the Word that were mine through faith, through grace, that I would never have any of that stuff that was my rightful inheritance being in Christ now that he's come. And so I started to chase after God and believe him and his word and how he saw me, no matter how I felt, how many times the old man mindset got me. I just kept going after him and would just shake the guilt and remorse off and the shame if I had fallen and keep right on going, producing not only the life of Christ, but a character of holiness that I could have never imagined. I had the Christian walk all wrong. Live a little good, fail, live a little good, fail. And that was my revolving door for 30 years. Now it doesn't have to be, because I'm renewing my mind to the truth about who I am in Christ, and it is producing the life of Christ. I think that's all I got there, Stan.
Yeah, that's awesome, Sean. I know that you see a lot of young Christians, and a lot of times when they come to the Lord, first thing that they pick up is a lot of religious, I call it religious spirit. And,
sure,
you know, they start judging and all that, but they don't really, they only know by what the churches is teaching them.
Right.
And they know no other thing until they actually dig into the Word of God and understand the Bible. I mean, if you grab any book without an understanding of it, you can get things wrong. You know, and
sure,
you can get it all wrong. And one thing that it takes, you know, we need the Holy Spirit to guide us in that Word of God, because the Jewish folks, they didn't really have that. You know, that they didn't have the Holy Spirit to guide them like we have now. But that's the biggest thing. I saw a lot of people, as soon as they come to the Lord, they get judgmental spirit on them and they start judging. Before you know it, they're falling back, because they're seeing so many situations, and then they drop, not knowing the love of God, that the Lord lives in you and he loves you. And like you said, that he's loving you. He's chasing you, not you chasing him. He's chasing you.
That's right.
And once you get that turn around, you understand that, and you understand that, that changes your whole ways of thinking. And, sometimes as humans, it's hard for us to grasp that, because we ain't used to it. We used to, you know, we've got to chase. We've got to work for everything. We've got to do this. We've got to do that, or we won't get it, you know. If we don't chase and run from it, it's not really real, you know.
Right.
But God
right.
is God's not like that. He loves us. He sent his one and only son for us. He didn't send
Amen.
Him just maybe get a few people, but for the whole world to receive. So it's kind of awesome there. Go ahead, Chris. You have anything you'd like to ask him? Chris.
Yeah, I was wondering, what's the coolest miracle you ever seen or recall?
The one that comes to mind, I got invited over to a home in the city next to me, a home of people who had struggled with alcohol and drug addiction. And they were all clean. But, you know, you want to talk about people who don't feel worthy of God's love. He loves blasting people like that. He really, really does. Because in their mind, from the things that alcohol and drugs will produce, you know, the behaviors, they just, you know, and they hear it in our culture. You need to change or God won't love you. Well, they forget that at one time, you know, they were doing some stuff and God just came and changed them. He's the one who pursues, like you said, Stan, he pursues our hearts. And so I'm in this house and I'm praying for people, and there's about six people. And I come to this one woman, and she has done everything that a woman can do to support a drug habit. And beautiful woman. I could see the beauty in her. I could see the light in her life. And I knelt down on the floor and she had 9 screws in her ankle, skinny ankles poking through, and a metal plate. And I started to pray for her healing, and I had prayed for her, and I got up, and Chris, the metal screws disappeared. They just dissolved.
Man.
The metal plate dissolved. And
Even though
I had saw so many miracles, and my natural mind could not wrap itself around that for a whole day and a half, I think. It just tried to kick it out.
That's tremendous, because there's so many people out there, even in the Christian world, that are like, you know, they're saying they're healing everybody, but, you know, I don't see anything. Anybody could say their headache's gone. And, you know, when you have something like that happen, it's reality. You know, I mean, you just, your mind just can't wrap your head around it, and you just accept it by faith, and you just keep going on with the Lord. And I think that's amazing, because I love to see these things happen like that. But,
right. It's funny how the natural mind just can't, it shuts down. And this woman just started crying because she disconnected. That's not even in the realm of possibilities for two reasons. Her drug-addicted behavior that she knows no one could ever forgive her for in her heart, and the fact that metal doesn't dissolve, you know, like that. So her brain disconnected, and she just started crying and crying and crying. And the love of God just kept filling her, and I just was praying for her and letting her know that she was a princess and God loved her. It was, it was just so beautiful to watch the love of God in action.
Amen. Oh. Amen. Go ahead.
We'll take a break and then you can I'll ask.
Yeah, we'll be right back.
Sure.
With Sean Hurley. Right after this song.
Love came down and rescued me.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Healing Light Show. We are going straight back in with Chris's question. Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, what I was going to ask you, Sean, was if you could leave any type of advice to the listeners, or you think that's important, what would that be?
As far as advice to any new Christian, any Christian who's been walking for a long time, is one of the most important things for me is under no circumstance are we to live with guilt, shame, or condemnation. None of that is ever from God. Is it true that sometimes Christians miss the mark? Absolutely. To get before God and to say a simple prayer, Father, I know that's not who I am in you or you in me. Ask forgiveness and go about your business. And not only not to feel any of those emotions, but to get before God and declare before him in that intimate place, in that secret place that where we spend our time alone with God, reading the word, and just declaring his word back to him. Father, I thank you that I am righteous in your eyes, that your blood has cleansed me, that I'm your son, that your favor is towards me. You start speaking that in faith, and grace comes and potters you and makes you into what and who you want to be the most, to look Christ-like inside and out. And I find that that's what had held me back for 30 years is, as I just lived in that horrible circle of condemnation and secret shame and guilt. And that is demonic, and it will stifle the life that is in you. It will never be produced if you stay in that stuff. God loves
Amen.
You.
Amen. Amen. That's Romans 8. You know, there's no condemnation
right.
for those that are in Christ Jesus. And one thing I want to say about that is if you have received Christ, and if you're born again, and if it was really real and you meant that prayer when you said it, then you've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness and put into the kingdom of light. And that seed of the divine nature of God is in you. And then, so it's called Zoe in the Greek. It's the impartation of the divine nature of God to be born again. And you're a new creation. So you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And that's how God sees you. And his faith is so much bigger than yours. He speaks it over you because he sees the end from the beginning. And
Amen.
I'm going to let you go ahead. I'll get on that
topic. No. But also, Chris, you had said a seed, and it's an incorruptible seed. It cannot be taken over. It cannot be destroyed. It is the life of Christ. And to renew yourself to that fact is, and I think that's the only problem with a lot of Christians, the new ones, is they just never learn who they are. It's not that they're bad people. They just don't know who they are. So they produce what they've always known.
Amen.
Wow, that was really good. God loves us because he loves us because he loves us. You know, as being a human being is like we have all these reasons, like we were talking, that God's love is not a reason. It's agape. It's non-productive. You don't have to perform to get it. He sees you in eternity. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. I will love on he, just because it pleases him to love you. And I tell people, do you think he didn't know what you would do, you know, 30 years down the road or 2 days after you were saved? Do you think it surprised him, your behavior? He's God. But we can't grasp that in our carnal mind.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah, I really know that, you know, the day that we was born, even before we was born, he had all this already set up for us. For us to get saved at the right time, right place. He had everything set up right for that time. But it's hard to believe that sometimes we got to be in jail. Sometimes we've got to be, you know, without food. Sometimes we've got to be to a situation where we got to be broke down and empty. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. The time that you're empty and you think you have nothing, that's the best time for you to receive Christ, because he fills you up with his spirit and he renews you. And a lot of times I really feel that we're so full of ourselves that he can't really do much with us at that time. We're so much filled with ourselves that we don't have time for God. We don't have time. We got to run to this job. We got to do this. We got to do all of these different things with our kids, and it's all about us. And God just waits that time when this stuff has took over you, and you can't really do nothing else. You can't do nothing else without him, because there will come a time when you can't do nothing else but need him. And when that time comes, he's ready. He's ready. But he basically lets you run on your own for a while and see how that goes. And even though no matter how much money you have, how much millions you've gathered, you're still empty inside. You still don't have what your heart is claiming for. See, money, wealth, all the finances, all the women, all the men, none of that is going to grasp what you're really hungry for. You're really hungry for him. You're hungry for his love. You're hungry for his transformation. And that's what your heart is actually hungering for. And then when you get to that down point and you can't find that, you can't find him, you can't find that peace that you're looking for, he shows up. He shows up to fill that hole in your heart. He comes to fill up that that emptiness inside. And he reveals himself to you. You holler out for him. You holler out for him, and he'll come. I guarantee you he'll come. The deepest times in your life, he'll come. He'll be there. He'll always be there. He's been searching for you. He knew that time when you was going to need him, and he's there. And at this time, I'm just going to go ahead and offer anybody that wants to come to the Lord at this time, it's going through that time. It's going through demonic warfare. It's going through, you know, family hardships. It's going through this. We're going to go ahead and, you know, say the sinner's prayer and ask the Lord into our hearts. Just say, Lord Jesus, we invite you into our hearts. We believe that you died on the cross for us. We believe that you rose again on the third day for us. We hand all of our sins and transgressions to you. We invite you into our heart for eternity now, in Jesus' mighty name. You just said that, Lord Jesus, it just came into your heart, and he will be with you for eternity. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He will always be there. Find you a great Bible-believing church, and you know, go and listen to what they got to say. Stay in the Word.
That's Chris. You know, I'm listening to you. And I'm thinking, you know, the spirit of the world and the way that seems right to a man and the way that people are brought up in that system are all designed for us to miss God at the day of his visitation. You know, through our pains, our hearts, the way we've been deceived as we grow in this system of rewards and egocentric behavior and pride, and it doesn't seem like anyone needs God because they're all self-driven. And it's almost a blessing when people crash or when people inside themselves are destitute. There's that tiny space where that light can shine through, and we reach out beyond ourselves, hoping. And every time we've reached for God, his hand is always there. Yeah. It's good stuff.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Sean, what we'll probably do, we'll go ahead and start praying for everybody. If anybody's got a word of knowledge, anybody got something on, you know, somebody that's listening. A while ago when we was talking, I got a younger guy. I don't know whether if this is to one of y'all. He's a real thinner-looking guy. Short hair, sunglasses, younger guy, I'll say 50s, you know, 20s, 30s. I don't know if this guy's needing prayer. I'm not sure what this need is. But in Jesus' name, I ask you to touch this guy ask you to open his heart, reveal yourself to him, Lord. Just open his heart and show him the need that he needs you. Reveal your love to him. Just open his mind. Ask us in Jesus' name. Anybody else mm-hmm. got anything? That?
Yeah, I'd just like to, I'm getting this for, I'm just going to pray for people who would listen to this program. Cancer is heavy on my spirit right now. So, Father God, I just thank you. I thank you so much and your great love and mercy. I curse the devil of cancer. I command it come out. Whoever should listen to this program, and really on my spirit that someone who's going to listen to this has a cancer, has a stage 3 or 4 and seems hopeless, well, you just listen to this word that God knows about your cancer, and I command it comes out of your body right now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I'm feeling that somebody has a migraine, has a headache at this time. And I just ask for the person just to put their hand on their head, just to indicate your faith, and it just helps you understand this. But in Jesus' name, I command the spirit of pain, the spirit of migraine. In Jesus' name, I bind you and rebuke you, command you to leave their head, to leave their mind. I command the mind to become clear. I command the mind to become clear now. I command all pain in Jesus' name to leave now. In Jesus' mighty name, so it is. Go ahead, Sean.
Father, I thank you. And I'm feeling in my spirit here right now that this cancer thing is strong. And somebody specific with breast cancer in their left breast, I curse that tumor. I command it shrivel up and die now. In Jesus' name, I command it healed right now. Right now, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you.
Thank you. You picking up anything, Chris?
No, I'm going to just say this. Like, God is present with you right now. You guys that are listening, he's right there. He's in the same room. He'll never leave you or forsake you. So I just say right now, put your hand on the area that needs healing. And I just command healing, life to flow in Jesus' name. I just command it. And I command restoration and well-being and wholeness in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. I command life to these people. I command life
mm-hmm.
in Jesus' name, Fire, Holy Spirit. I command life to their bodies. I command life to their minds. I command life to them now, Lord Jesus. Just fill them full of life. Fill them full of your life. Fill them full of life. I command peace in their bodies. I command peace in their families. I command any demonic warfare that's going on in their families. I bind and rebuke that thing and command to leave their family now, leave their household now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, I ask whoever is going to claim this, just put your hand up. Just say, I claim this prayer in Jesus' name. I command this demonic warfare to break now in Jesus' name. I ask for the Father to send his angels in. Just clean their house out. Clean whatever's going on out now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' mighty name, it's broken now. So it is. I command anything that's going on with their health. If it's any foot issues, I command all feet, I command all muscles, all bones to be fully repaired and restored now in Jesus' name.
Hey, I want to tell this story that I heard the other day just because, and I want to say this first, is the blood of Jesus paid for your healing, and it is yours. It is yours. But I want to say this story because some people, when you know that it's yours, there is an absolute thing. I mean, it is yours. So you can't do anything but get it. But it's the grace of God. But I want to say this is I heard a story I think it was yesterday, where this girl told the pastor, she said, "Pastor, the devil is stronger than you are because you pray and I'm still sick." And anyway, he said, "That's not true." And he said, go write this 1,000 times. And every time you write it, read it and say it. And he said that was the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, you know, that told him to say that. He said he just said it before he even realized he was saying it. And then she went and wrote it down, "By his stripes ye are healed," you know, from Isaiah 53. And anyway, she wrote it, and it took her a while to do it. But she came back to the pastor and said, "Pastor, I'm finished." And he said, "Where's your cancer?" And she had a big lump growing out that was visible, and she didn't even realize that it was gone because of the fact of her putting her mind into agreement and alignment with what the Word of God said. That was just really cool. It was encouraging to me, and I figured it would encourage you guys. And I just wanted to share that.
That's awesome. Now, Sean, how can somebody get in touch with you if they need to for prayer, or tell a little bit about your ministry and so on?
Yeah, I have a ministry I call Happy Hands, and the Holy Spirit gave me that name because beginning of this, when all the healing started, I was just so incredibly happy every time I put my hands on someone and they were healed. And I have a Facebook page where I put a lot of testimonies on. It's under Sean Hurley, but I have a ministry called Happy Hands. And you can write to it and ask for prayer. We're developing a website. We did have one, but we're developing a new one. And it's Happy Hands, P.O. Box 87, West Springfield, Mass., 01090-0087. But I pray for people on Facebook all the time. You can look me up and inbox me. And also, I put my number out there all the time because I travel to people's homes and to hospitals, to churches. And that number is area code 413-271-0121. Just leave a message, and I will get back to you. And that's my life. I love praying for people, and I love people being set free from that bondage of sickness and disease. That's what God created us for, to look like Jesus. And that's my goal, to look more and more like him in love every day.
That's awesome. I know the other day he was talking about how he goes and does these, goes to shut-ins and prays for them. And we was talking the other day on the phone for this radio show, and he was going to a shut-in right after we got the phone to pray for a lady at her house. And I thought it was pretty awesome. And, you know, he's more willing to pray for you. Just call him up, and he'll call you, or however y'all set up, you know, the appointment, and he'll be more than happy to pray for you. And that's awesome for somebody that's ready to reach out their hand and help somebody. It's always awesome to see that. But I'd like to tell everybody, next week we also have we're having a guy come on and talk about the Bethlehem Star Project. It's going to be talking about how, you know, the computers nowadays can really, you know, really search for stars and set coordinates and really tell you where all this stuff was going on. And since, you know, Jesus' birth, it's always about the star that got the Magi or the wise men, however you want to put it. I know I've got a lot of people that fusses over whether they was wise men or magi, or, you know, it don't matter who they were, but anyway, what guided them to the Messiah, you know, when he was born. And anyway, it gives the time, the date, and all that stuff. I mean, it's amazing what computers and technology can do today, but it has to be the right coordinates. And there was an astrologer back hundreds of years ago that wrote this book, and he had a coordinates, but they rewrote the book, and they messed up the coordinates to the star and everything that was going on. The guy that I'm having come on, he had to find the original, and he put the original into the computer, and the whole world lit up. I mean, the whole Christmas story lit up after you got the rock coordinates that the guy originally found. And anyway, he put in the computer and showed the date, the time, where it showed up, all type of unique things, what was going on. And, I mean, he just started adding different coordinates and started opening up the Bible stories. And it made it, you know, anybody scientific that needs scientific proof, this thing here will open up your mind. You may get people saved listening to it that morning because he's got the coordinates. He's got all the things, you know, showing biblically, also showing biblically what went on at that time, how all this matched together. And he can go right down to the time, to what was going on in the atmosphere, what was going on, you know, on the earth, and is just showing you biblically too how all this was happening, and it'll open your mind. And Christmas will seem more real to you instead of buying gifts and Santa Claus and all that. It kind of shows you what really went on, and shows you how real this story is. I think something somebody made up or something that, you know, just passed down. This really happened. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ really was born at this day. It really went on around that time. He will show and prove that to you. It won't be just, you know, something that we hear, this and that. It adds reality to it. And Jesus is reality, but to a lot of people, they have scientific proof, and this here will help you. And I do want to tell everybody, he already has this whole thing on YouTube. It's called the Bethlehem Star Project. You can check it out on YouTube, too. And he explains everything. He shows you on charts. He shows you everything. You can check that out on YouTube, too. But he's going to be on the show next Saturday, and he's going to be able to take questions. Any questions you have, just call in. You can ask him yourself, and he'll be more than happy to answer them questions for you. But this will be December the 12th, and as most time always, you know, around 9:30, we've had a few shows that we had to do on Friday nights because the guests, you know, they had certain schedules, but he has actually said that he will come on next Saturday morning, so it's going to be awesome to have him on. And I want to thank Sean Hurley for coming on today. It was an awesome testimony. Thank you for praying for the people here online, and I'm sure a lot of people are going to get healed from that.
No, thank you, Stan, for having me, and thank you, Chris. It was nice to meet you both, and God bless, and I hope we get together soon.
Yeah,
sure will. Sure will. We sure will. We'll have you back on here, and we'll have another topic, and we'll preach some more about some stuff. But it was awesome. This show really seemed it was talking to the person out there that is really, you know, they lost their faith. They think God don't like them anymore, and it really shows these people that God still loves them. He's just waiting for them to come back. And I really think people need to hear this story. And I think this really touched those people that's needing to hear that. And I think this show will touch them and really open their eyes to God's, you know, love. And it's going to be awesome, folks. But thank you again, Sean. And we'll talk to you soon. And God bless everybody. And I hope everybody has a blessed weekend.
You want to be real. You want to be empty inside. You want to be someone. Laying down your pride. You want to be someone someday. Lay it all down before the King. Oh yeah. You wanna be whole. You wanna have purpose inside. You wanna have virtue. And purify your mind. You wanna be set free today. Lay it all down before the King. Oh yeah, this is my desire.